of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Thursday, August 17th. I am your presenter, Felice Involvement, in the headlines. United Workers Party political leader and financial economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine expresses concern over the DLP government's attitude towards the people of Dominica and cited visible evidence of their disregard.
Right on cue.
CARICOM Development Fund and African Export-Import Bank agreed to a framework for cooperation between the two organizations and to support in delivering essential services to CARICOM member states.
Q, top of the hour news.
And North Korea claimed Wednesday that U.S. soldier Travis King admitted to entering into North Korea due to inhumane maltreatment and racial discrimination he experienced within the U.S. Army.
On Q.
Details coming up next.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Political leader of the United Workers Party and financial economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine is expressing concern about the government's attitude towards the people of Dominica. He believes the DLP government's actions indicate a lack of disregard for citizens. Dr. Fontaine pointed out the visible evidence of certain activities, such as the arrival of foreign-owned dump trucks and operators at the ports to engage in construction, which can be done by locals, which is clearly evident to the public. He claims that there has not been a strong enough response from the Dominican people to convey their dissatisfaction with the government's actions.
When you have that, when you have this, you know, all of these companies, Dominica Strong and this other one from St. Lucia, all over, when you have this government treating these people with such disdain, you know, it tells me that this government does not like the people of Dominica. And I cannot for the life of me understand, with all of that evidence, with all of that in your face, it's not even subtle. It's not even subtle. We see the dump trucks being offloaded. We see the operators arriving at Melvin Hall Airport. It is not hidden. It is all there in the public. Dominicans are seeing it. And yet, we cannot tell this government enough is enough.
Dr. Fontaine continued by emphasizing the importance of prioritizing the interests of the people of Dominica. He advocates for a government that is committed to the country's development and to wealth creation. Dr. Fontaine highlighted the example of individuals who have left Dominica, seeking better opportunities elsewhere, and he questions why similar opportunities cannot be created within the country. He believes that with the right focus and policies, Dominica can offer its citizens a prosperous future in the present and for generations to come.
We cannot tell this government that we should be looking after the interests of the people of Dominica first. And that is what we need. We need in government a group of people that are concerned about the development of the country, that are concerned about the creation of wealth. And I keep talking about that. I keep talking about how can we create wealth, not only for our generation, but for the generations to come. Every single person who has left Dominica, I believe, has gone in the pursuit of a better life for themselves and for their families. That is offered in St. Martin, in Guadeloupe, the United States of America, in France, all over. And thousands of Dominicans over the years have gone in pursuit of that. Why can't we do that very same thing in Dominica?
And that was United Workers Party political leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, suggests that the current government's grip on power may not last much longer due to the old saying that power corrupt and absolute absolutely, power corrupts. Mr. Gregoire believes that a demand for change from the Dominican population is imminent, especially considering recent CBI-related visa restriction events and evolving developments. He indicates that the revelations about the actions of the government, particularly as regards certain international CBI matters, appear to be just the beginning.
No government can stay in power forever. We've been saying that power corrupts, and absolutely, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It seems to me the time is coming when Dominicans are going to be demanding for change. It seems with all these events that are now catching up with the regime, all the events that are now taking place, and we have to project our thoughts to what is coming. I don't think we're just scratching the surface now in terms of what the British are doing. I expect a lot more to come.
Mr. Gregoire emphasized the need for a major transformation in Dominica. He says when the current government eventually transitions out of power, it should be succeeded by an administration categorized by principles of good governance. He underscored the importance of making a fresh start that can bring about a brighter future for Dominica.
Dominica has to turn a corner. Once his government goes, it has to be replaced by good governance. Good government. That is based on level playing field, free and fair, decent campaigning, people debate and talk about policies and programs, and put a good governing place that could transform this economy.
Host of the Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire. Minister for Public Works, Public Utilities and Digital Economy, Fidel Grant, claims that the restoration of the Shatwell Feeder Road in Bellevue-Chopin is of utmost importance as it grants access to numerous farms, which is a top priority outlined by the government via the Ministry of Agriculture. Grant also noted that the project plays a crucial role in strengthening the agricultural sector and ensuring the durability of transportation network that connects farms to markets.
The rehabilitation of this key feeder road provides access to many farms. This is a priority outlined by the government through the Ministry of Agriculture. This is significant towards bolstering our agricultural sector and ensuring the resilience of our transportation network used to link farms to markets. There are several benefits to our farmers and communities. It reduces travel time. It reduces wear and tear on farmers' vehicle. It reduces in-transit damage to your fresh produce, and to name a few. This is not just a feeder road. It is a road to creating sustainable employment for our youth. It is a road to ensuring that agriculture contributes 700 to our GDP by 2030. And it's important this morning that I point out to you that while the world is going through difficult times, we are here investing $6.3 million for farm access roads.
Grant has reported that to date over $20 million have been invested by the government in the rehabilitation of 8 feeder roads under the Rehabilitation of Feeder Roads Project. He further mentioned that the completion of these projects marked Dominica's remarkable journey towards a resilient future.
Under this ambitious program, the government has to date invested over $20 million in the rehabilitation of 8 feeder roads. These road segments include Middle Ridge at Calibishi, Beauplat at Paybush, Mango Gutter in Westling, Formy in Cassie Bruce, the Agriculture Station Road in La Plaine, the Mopo Makoto Grand Bay Road, the Cuba Cahom Road, and the Grand Rivier Road in La Plaine. The successful completion of these roads marks a remarkable achievement to our journey towards resilience and a prosperous Dominica. We are continuing with our efforts at improving our farm access roads with construction of the rehabilitation of the Shatwell Feeder Road. This endeavor holds immense significance not only for bolstering our agricultural productivity, but also providing an alternative route for the southern part of the island.
And that was Minister for Public Works, Public Utilities and Digital Economy, Fidel Grant. CEO of Q95 FM Radio, Mr. Sheridan Gregoire, has put forward a series of recommendations for electoral reform that must be taken into account in order to ensure free and fair elections in Dominica. One of these recommendations are the yearly purging of the voters list, not only of deceased individuals, but also to those who have not been residents of Dominica for at least 5 years, unless otherwise stated.
Q95 FM Radio therefore proposes the following. One, the voters list should be cleansed annually, not merely of the names of persons who are deceased, but also of anyone who has not been ordinarily resident in Dominica for at least 5 years. Unless otherwise provided, the right to vote is limited to a citizen of Dominica of 18 years or older who is ordinarily resident in Dominica at the time of the calling of an election. Number three, for the purpose of this legislation, ordinarily resident means a regular and habitual mode of life in Dominica, as opposed to a temporary sojourn, vacation, visit, or transitory presence. This does not include the provisions involving Commonwealth citizens, which remain unchanged.
Mr. Gregoire suggests that there should be no voter registration anywhere overseas, but a confirmation of duly registered voters overseas should be conducted thoroughly based on an official ID card or a passport of a registered elector. This would require a voter to present a government-issued identification card or a passport.
Number four, there shall be no overseas registration of voters, but confirmation of overseas voters should be done on a thorough basis with the production of a government-issued identification card or passport by that voter. The Electoral Commission, that's number five, Electoral Commission shall have the authority to remove from the voters list the names of all persons who have not resided in Dominica for a minimum of 5 years. Number six, on the day of elections, it is an offense for an elections officer to ask a voter for his or her ballot before the voter places the ballot into the ballot box, or for any official, party handler, or others to intimidate a voter with the threat that they will know which political party he or she voted for. Number seven, there shall be fixed limits on campaign finance spending, not merely during a reporting period, but also during the 6 months period preceding such a period. Spending in each and every constituency by a candidate or political party is limited to $100 per person living in that constituency. This is subject to negotiations, but it is certainly not supposed to be a charge on any voters.
And that was Chief Executive Officer of Q95 FM Radio, Mr. Sheridan Gregoire. Dominica's newest private medical school, the American Canadian School of Medicine, has officially commenced its second year welcoming students from various parts of the world. The question is, will it have the capacity to fully replace the Ross University School of Medicine that was housed in Picard, Portsmouth, but has since relocated to Barbados? The American Canadian School of Medicine enrolled 9 students for its inaugural year. The American Canadian School of Medicine President Casey James highlighted the institution's goal of not only producing exceptional physicians, but also raising healthcare standards in Dominica and beyond. He expressed gratitude for the support from the Dominican government in establishing the medical school. The school says it has received accreditation from respective bodies like the International Accreditation Registry and the Accreditation Commission of Colleges of Medicine. The launch of the American Canadian School of Medicine is expected to enhance Dominica's efforts to strengthen the medical and healthcare capabilities for its citizens and for the global community. Dr. Thompson Fontaine, a political leader of the United Workers' Party, delves into the critical analysis of the impact of Dominica's Citizenship by Investment program. He underscores a concerning disparity between those who have profited from the program and those who have not. Dr. Fontaine laments that a broader Dominican population has not reaped substantial benefits from the CBI program. He raises thought-provoking question regarding how this dynamic can be reversed and how Dominica can shift directions towards a more equitable path.
A whole population of Dominica has not really benefited as much from the CBI program. Those who have benefited are the guys, the slick sellers that we see on YouTube in their $15,000 suits, peddling our passports, making millions, you know, guys like the Haydens building two high-rise buildings in downtown Dubai. You know, these are the people who are benefiting immensely from the sale of our passports and not our people. So how do we reverse that? How do we look forward? How do we look past what we now have? And I think what where I think about our taking our salvation into our own hands, we have to start with electoral reform.
Dr. Thompson Fontaine emphasized that the citizens of Dominica possesses the power to make informed decisions through their votes. He underscored the need for a government that genuinely prioritizes the welfare of its people and advocates for their interests above all else. He critically addressed the actions of the current DLP administration, pointing out instances where this commitment to the public welfare appears to be a serious concern and lacking. He expressed incredulity at what perceives as a lack of consideration for the local population, denoting a perceived disregard for the best interest of the Dominican people.
Where the people of Dominica can vote their consciences. Because what you really want is a government that cares about the people. A government that will be looking after the interests of the Dominican public first. And this government does not, in so many ways. When you consider the fact, Mr. G, that you want to put an extra 100 feet on the airport, and you import a whole company from Barbados to do that, not only do you import the company, you import the trucks, you import the truck drivers, you import the backhoe drivers, you import the guys to mix the cement, you import the guys to carry the water from the river. It is unthinkable. Unthinkable that the government could be so uncaring about its own people, where you have truckers, where you have people with the equipment.
And that was a political leader of the United Workers Party, Dr. Thompson Fontaine. In other news, the Caribbean Development Bank and the African Import-Export-Import Bank, Afribank, have entered into an MOU to establish a framework for collaborating between the two organizations and support in providing services in CARICOM member states. The CDF is responsible for addressing the disparities among and within the CARICOM member states caused or intensified by economic shocks or dislocation that may arise from the implementation of the CARICOM single market and economy. Through the signing of the MOU, the CDF and Afrix Bank have made a commitment to collaborate and investigate the most optimal funding alternatives for both debt and equity capital markets with the aim of supporting the development of crucial infrastructure projects in the CARICOM region. The MOU serves as a clear testament to the joint efforts of both entities to increase financing opportunities for CARICOM member states and foster stronger south-south cooperation within the African continent and the Caribbean region. And North Korea has stated that U.S. soldier Travis King seeks refuge either in their country or elsewhere due to the inhumane maltreatment and racial discrimination he has experienced in the U.S. and the military, according to state media released on Wednesday. This marks the first time that the North has publicly acknowledged King's crossing from South Korea on July 18, 2023.
North Korea says Travis King, the U.S. Army private who dashed across the border from South Korea last month, wants refuge from racism and mistreatment in the U.S., either in the North or in another country. This is the first time Pyongyang has publicly confirmed King crossed over the heavily guarded demilitarized zone on July 17th. The North's official state news agency, KCNA, posted on its website that during an investigation, quote, Travis King confessed that he had decided to come over to the DPRK as he harbored ill feeling against inhumane maltreatment and racial discrimination within the U.S. Army. He also expressed his willingness to seek refuge in the DPRK or a third country, saying that he felt disillusioned with the unequal American society. DPRK stands for the North's official name, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. KCNA also said King was kept under control by soldiers in North Korea and that the investigation they mentioned is still active. U.S. officials believe King crossed the border intentionally while on a civilian tour of the joint security area between the two Koreas and have declined so far to call him a prisoner of war. U.S. officials also say the North has not provided substantive responses to their queries on King. The Pentagon said it could not verify the North's version of King's comments as KCNA had reported them, and said it remains focused on his safe return. King previously faced two allegations of assault in South Korea, pleading guilty to one of those allegations, as well as damaging a police car during a profanity-laced tirade against Koreans, according to court documents. After finishing military detention in South Korea, King was taken to the airport to return to his home unit in the United States. He was supposed to face more disciplinary measures upon arrival, but instead King left the airport, joined a tour of the border, and crossed the DMZ despite attempts by South Korean and US guards to stop him.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. United Workers Party political leader and financial economist Dr. Thompson Fontaine expresses concern about the DLP government's attitude towards the people of Dominica and cited visible evidence of their disregard. 5DA.com. Right on. CARICOM Development Fund and African Export-Import Bank agreed to a framework for cooperation between their two organizations to and to support in delivering essential services to CARICOM member states. Q, top of the hour. And North Korea claimed Wednesday that U.S. soldier Travis King admitted to entering into North Korea due to inhumane maltreatment and racial discrimination he experienced within the U.S. Army. Right on. I've been your presenter for this environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.